This is Mark Gancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Richard H. Perry of Athens, Georgia. Richard has a website at www.lastdaysmystery.info. He also has a book out. Penguin Group Publishing has put this guide out entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. And there are several things that I really want to get into with Richard here. We have, of course, in this segment, a handful of minutes before we have another break, and then there'll be an extended period of time for longer conversation. I don't want to ask him a real leading question in this time segment so that we don't run into a time crunch before the next commercial break. So I'll take this opportunity to mention a couple of special people that are going to be on tomorrow. Michael Schwartz is going to be on the show tomorrow from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, talking about the president's surge policy as it relates to Iraq. Michael Schwartz is very frequently read on the World Wide Web, and among other places can be found through Tom Englehart's TomDispatch.com. That's going to be Michael Schwartz between 8 and 9 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow. And then Barrett Tillman is going to be on the show from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time to discuss his new work in the Great Generals series entitled LeMay. If you've not seen this new book on General Curtis LeMay, it really will be well worth your time. I'm making my way through it and will probably be finished with it in terms of the basic text before Mr. Tillman comes on tomorrow. But that is something that is absolutely worth your time in terms of getting into the life and history and career of America's premier strategic and tactical aerial strategist during the Second World War, who later became the father of the so-called Strategic Air Command, later became Chief of Staff of the Air Force at a very turbulent time, and happened to be the Chief of Staff of the Air Force at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. That, again, is going to be Barrett Tillman on tomorrow from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, talking about that new book, LeMay, which is a part of the Great Generals series that's being offered by Macmillan. Some of the other generals in that series involve Patton, MacArthur, Eisenhower, Stonewall Jackson, and Ulysses S. Grant, if I remember the other five correctly. But General Curtis LeMay is the other individual that is listed in that Great General series. And I happened to find this book just walking into Borders the other day, where it was very prominently displayed. And I think you will find it, if you have any interest at all in the Second World War or the history of modern combat aviation, Barrett Tillman's book is absolutely going to prove to be indispensable. That book is entitled LeMay, and I have posted some of the information that is on the World Wide Web regarding that new book at Breaking All the Rules News. So again, that's going to be Barrett Tillman tomorrow at 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Michael Schwartz will be the earlier guest from 8 a.m. To 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we're back with Richard Perry here talking about The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days, which is a Penguin Publishing volume, and also Richard's website, which is www.lastdaysmystery.info. Richard, we just have a couple of minutes before the next commercial break, and then there'll be a more extended time for conversation again. But I'm going to ask you the question now in regard to Israel. There are those, of course, both dispensational as well as non-dispensational people who see the modern state of Israel as some fulfillment of biblical prophecy. However, there are other biblical scholars who say that there were some very specific reasons why Israel was disenfranchised from its land in 586 B.C. as well as 70 A.D., that those conditions still pertain today. Therefore, the modern state of Israel is not an indication of God's fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I want to give you a chance to address that when we come back. This is Mark Gancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBM. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt Christian station, 50,000-watt radio station that's going to be including Mark Dancos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network and its outreach throughout the American South. We're joined today by Richard Perry, who himself is from the American South, Athens, Georgia specifically. And Richard has two items of interest to all of the listeners. One is his website, www.lastdaysmystery.info. The other is a Penguin Group publishing book entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Richard, before the last break, I was talking about this whole business of Israel and whether or not it is or isn't, speaking of the modern state of Israel, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, it seems to me that you have a vast majority of dispensationalists who believe that it is, and that specifically the Christian has a mandate to basically affirm virtually anything that the modern state of Israel does. Then it seems to me you have a second camp of people who say that the modern state of Israel is not a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, that Israel lost its land in 586 B.C. and 70 A.D., The latter went at the hands of the Romans for a specific set of reasons that involve both disobedience as well as rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. And since there has been no national conversion of so-called ethnic Israel to belief in Jesus Christ as Messiah, that Israel has no biblical claim on the land. And then there's a third group of people who seem to say that, well, Israel is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the sense that it will be a part of end times deception, deceiving many people into supporting Zionism as a larger program of so-called Christian eschatology, when in fact what undergirds Zionism involves theories about the New World Order and world government, and an Antichrist who will be involved in the deception of millions of people utilizing false signs and wonders. How do we unpack all of this in regard to at least what your perception is of the biblical case for it one way or the other?
Well, Mark, that's quite a package you want me to unpack.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a very difficult question, isn't it?
Well, and I clearly draw my knowledge from the scripture, and I don't, you know, the package that you were just, you know, wrapping up there, I really don't see myself in any of the current camps that exist today. I mean, I don't fit into that definition or this definition, but I'm one of the things I probably ought to stop and say, because I'm really involved in interpreting biblical prophecy about the future, and I need to clarify right now where I'm coming from, and that is that I try to interpret prophecy that has not been fulfilled in the same way that I have seen all prophecy that has been fulfilled. In other words, some people think that half of biblical prophecy has been fulfilled, and there certainly is a vast amount that has been, which gives us the pattern or the model, if you will, of how we should interpret what is to come, because God is immutable. He doesn't change. His purposes, his manners are the same eternally. So we can draw great comfort that, you know, what we've seen as a pattern and how he does things in the past is how he will do things in the future. He's not doing I'm going left and now I'm going to fake you out by going this other way kind of situation, which means that in terms of prophecy, which comes from the prophets of Israel, they were always written from the vantage point of Israel, and a lot of times Jerusalem, and sometimes even the temple, that clearly future prophecy is talking about things that relate to the nation of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, to even the Temple Mount, and I'll introduce it right now, is the temple, which currently doesn't exist. I read prophecy as, you know, being at face value, literal, even though you could look at it and say, this is impossible, this could never happen, which people typically do, and say, therefore, that's not what the Bible means. Well, God has never been restricted by our lack of imagination or by our lack of understanding of his power and what he's determined to do. So I'm totally convinced that the national Israel will be front and center in terms of the things that will usher in the end times. And probably one of the things that is the largest is the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. There was the original permanent structure that Solomon built about 1,000 years before Christ. And then there was the temple, and Jerusalem was being restored and rebuilt in terms of Nehemiah's time. And then that second temple was remodeled and refurbished by King Herod at the time of Christ's first advent. That was considered to be still the second temple, because temple worship continued to go on in that temple from the time it was essentially Nehemiah's, you know, construction to the time it was Herod's construction. So there's been two temples technically, but the Bible is emphatically clear there will be a third temple. As a matter of fact, and this is kind of interesting, is that right about the beginning of 2005, I think it was, the new Sanhedrin was reconvened. As a matter of fact, the Sanhedrin is a group of assembly of rabbis and judges for the Jewish religion that was instituted Old Testament times, and we saw the Sanhedrin referred to in the New Testament in terms of their interactions with Christ and so forth. Well, it's been about 1,600 years, and now there's another Sanhedrin for the first time in a long time. And one of the first orders of business they had is the rebuilding of the temple. Another interesting purpose for that they say is for their reconvening is that they are there available to authenticate the Messiah when he appears. So long story short is I feel certain that the biblical prophecy is pointing to the nation, the land of Israel, as being front and center in terms of end times prophecy. And I think we'll see that fulfilled. There's some major prophecies that indicate that there will be a Jewish temple, and that will play a central part in the last 7 years. The temple may be built 20 years before the end. The Bible doesn't say, but it clearly is present 3.5 years before the end of this age, and which is the time of the coming of the kingdom and the birth of the kingdom that we were talking about earlier.
What do you make of the fact that in terms of the situation between the Jews and Antiochus Epiphanes IV, the Seleucid king that in that time frame before the first coming of Christ, that a 7-year period of oppression at the hands of Antiochus Epiphanes IV is quite clearly recorded in history,
right,
and that there was during his reign a 3.5-year period of temple profanation. That seems a striking reference to me involving the numbers 3.5 and 7 before the first advent of Christ. What's your take on that?
Right. Well, I mean, clearly, Antiochus Epiphanes, he did do an abomination that caused desolation. I mean, he did detestable things in the temple that made the temple, desolate, unfit for use. I mean, he was sacrificing pigs on the altar, and it was the temple had become a house of prostitution, and that was, I guess, at about 168 B.C. But if you read that prophecy in Daniel that seems to be describing Antiochus Epiphanes, that prophecy continues on in terms of things that Antiochus Epiphanes never did. So that there certainly appeared to be a partial fulfillment. Unless everything is fulfilled, something else is yet to happen. And, of course, we saw another similarity of the temple situation within 70 AD, as you were mentioning, when the Roman general Titus brought his army against Israel and Jerusalem, and it was his army that ultimately destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And by the way, I might just stop at this point to help clear up some things that are a misperception. Is the passage in Daniel is 9:26 that refers to the ruler who will come, and it also refers to the people who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the city and the sanctuary were destroyed as described in that passage, and that was when Titus, the Roman general, came. But people often make the mistake and say, oh, well, therefore, it's the Romans that destroyed the city and the sanctuary. Therefore, it will be a Roman Antichrist or a revived Roman Empire or the UN or something like that.
We will be back with Richard Perry. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia, who has a Penguin Group publishing book entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Richard also has a very interesting website at www.lastdaysmystery.info. And Richard, it seems to me, as I've been trying to make some notes in our conversation here in the last however many minutes in the last hour or two, that in fact you do affirm that in your judgment, the 70th week of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, that's 7 years, you believe that is future as opposed to having been fulfilled and having chronologically followed the 69th week. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So essentially, at that juncture, your position on this is the same as most of the at that point, the same as most of the dispensational commentators who place that 70th week in the future. as opposed to past fulfillment. And I'm reminded of looking at a group of charts recently that Robert Walton, I believe, or was it John Walton, put out on the Old Testament, in which he chronicles the different views of the 70th week of Daniel that get into the so-called Maccabean view and the Roman view, and then several different versions of the futuristic view. So you have a futuristic view of the 70th week of Daniel. You do believe that in some sense the modern state of Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy with reference to things like the Olivet Discourse. All of that is completely in agreement with virtually all of the dispensational biblical interpretations I've read from some of the very fine expositors of that point of view, which is not my point of view, but I mean that's their point of view, and they try to support it very well. Where then would you differ from the rest of mainstream dispensationalism in your understanding of how all of this plays out?
I hate to be put with dispensationalists, because I have such strong spiritual differences with that particular theology. My theology I would describe as covenantal as it relates to Scripture. I try to draw all my relationship and get all my support for my position from what I see is written in Scripture, rather than a particular theological doctrine that people have developed.
But those are two of the real cardinal tenets of dispensationalism, both the futuristic view of the 70th. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they are. And I do agree with that aspect. I mean, I do agree that the Bible seems exquisitely clear to me that the last 7 years is a literal period of time, just as literal and probably just as precise as the first 69 sevens of Daniel's prophecy, which by my study of other people's more scientific work, because I haven't had the energy to do this or even probably the intellectual acuity to do it, but some other people have done a fine work, like Sir Robert Anderson and others.
Yeah, I've read his book,
that Daniel, when he indicated that from the time of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the King, comes, there will be 69 sevens in the prophetic time frame. That's 483 years of 360 days. And Sir Robert Anderson's calculations, as he said, that Christ came when he rode into the Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, as prophesied in Psalms and in Zechariah and various other places, precisely as Daniel had prophesied, and probably to the day, 173,880 days, that Palm Sunday when he rode in on the colt of a donkey, as Zechariah said, during the Passover festival, as it was indicated in Psalm 118, and that people were, Psalm 118 says that the people were holding branches during the festival procession. I mean, that's where we get our Palm Sunday. That was apparently fulfilled to the day that Daniel had predicted. Then there's 1 7-year period left. Now, that 7-year period looks like this. The next is that this leader who will come will confirm a covenant for 1 7. Now, I just might interject that the only reason I believe that the Bible says it's for 1 7 is because that's all the time there is left. I don't believe you'll ever see a treaty with many nations for Israel's security that says it's a 7-year deal. But there will be one, and then there'll be only 7 years left.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Richard Perry when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia. Richard has two items of interest for those of you who study this issue of biblical eschatology and prophecy. One is his website at www.lastdaysmystery.info, and the other is a Penguin Group publishing volume entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. I wanted to mention as well in this segment that we have two interesting guests coming on tomorrow, Michael Schwartz, to talk about the president's surge policy in Iraq. Michael will be on from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow. And then Barrett Tillman will be with us from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time to talk about his new volume, new contribution to the so-called Great General series for Palgrave Macmillan. Barrett Tillman's offering in that series is entitled LeMay. After Curtis Emerson LeMay, the father of the Strategic Air Command, and later the chief of staff of the Air Force, considered by many to be not only a very controversial figure, but arguably the greatest tactical and strategic aerial commander of all time in terms of American combat aviation, who was a multidimensional figure, very controversial guy, and I would recommend that book to you, LeMay. Whether you have had in the past a real interest in World War II aviation or not, certainly this guy, meaning Curtis Emerson LeMay of Columbus, Ohio, was an absolutely pivotal figure in regard to American history, both during and after the Second World War. Back to our conversation then with Richard Perry. Richard, as I have tried to get to the bottom of this whole business of prophecy, it seems to me again that this whole business of the 70th week of Daniel comes into play in regard to whether or not it has been fulfilled in the past or is yet future. Dr. Oswald T. Alice, who taught at Princeton Theological Seminary decades ago, and who, along with J. Gresham Machen, departed Princeton Seminary and helped to formulate Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia back around the year 1930, wrote a book entitled Prophecy and the Church. And there Dr. Alice wrote what many people consider to be the leading critique of dispensationalism. And among other things, Dr. Alice gets into the whole business of the 70th week of Daniel. And as near as I can tell from having read his book, not recently, I was trying to go back in my notes to refresh my memory on some of this last night, he was essentially speaking of a situation, according to Dr. Alice, where in Daniel 9:27, you basically have a confirmation of a covenant which involves the new covenant that God established with Jeremiah, that is referenced, I believe, in Jeremiah chapter 31, I think, and that this covenant of 7 years did in fact involve Jesus Christ, according to Alice, and that for the you had an earthly ministry of Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, caused by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which in turn caused the efficacy of the Jewish sacrificial system to cease, because Christ's sacrifice replaced the efficacy of the older Jewish sacrificial system, both for Jews specifically and, of course, later for Gentiles, and that the last 3.5 years then after the crucifixion involved, in Alice's view, as near as I can understand it, involved the continued primary proclamation of the gospel of Christ more to Jews than to Gentiles. But then after the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 8, there you have the end of that 3.5 year period of time, and then the shift from the Jews to the Gentiles as far as the focus of Paul's prophetic ministry. So that's basically Alice's take on the whole thing. And, of course, all of that is followed by the Roman destruction of the Jewish temple in A.D. 70. So in that view, it is Jesus Christ confirming the covenant for a period of 7 years or 1 week, and that at the halfway point of that 7 years, you come to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and his false arrest and crucifixion. That ends the Jewish sacrificial system and the oblations in regard to their efficacy. The next 3.5 years involves the continued effort to proclaim the gospel primarily to the Jews, secondarily to the Gentiles. But at the end of that 3.5 year segment, with the martyrdom of Stephen, the shift is away from the proclamation of the gospel primarily to Jews and then more toward Gentiles, at least in Alice's view. And that is the meaning of verse 27 there. What's your feeling about that?
Well, yeah, you did a great job, by the way, of recounting Oswald Alice's. I've got his book and The Unity of Isaiah written by him. And that the version I've got is written in 1945. And basically why I disagree with his particular analysis is because you go from prophecy being fulfilled in a literal historical visual sense to somewhat shifting over to a being fulfilled in a spiritual sense. Not that all prophecy doesn't have spiritual implications and ramifications, but he says, like you were saying, Alice Oswald Ellis says that the covenant confirmed and is Christ confirming a covenant. And clearly, Christ did confirm a covenant, you know, on the cross. Now, I disagree in terms of the timing. In other words, I don't really think that, I think that Christ came in 32 or 33 A.D. in terms of the triumphal entry, and his crucifixion was essentially the triumphal entry was when he fulfilled Daniel's prophecy of the coming Messiah, and that would have had to have been when the covenant was confirmed. In other words, I have some issues of timing, but I think more importantly is that you look and say, okay, there was a Christ confirmed a covenant. The Bible here is referring to a covenant being confirmed by a leader who will come, which is that he is the masculine pronoun of the previous passage, which refers to the leader who will come. And so you have to connect that to the leader who will come to confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. But then you have in the middle of the seven, you have this leader, he will stop sacrifice and offering, which you mentioned Alice addresses in terms of Christ fulfilling of the sacrificial part of the law. And I totally agree with that spiritually. But the temple worship continued until about 69 or 70 AD, which would have been another 38 years, which would make, well, now you're really wrestling God's timing. When God says 7 years, now we're making it, oh, well, it stretches into up to 69 AD or 70 AD, the destruction of the temple, when actually temple worship was stopped. In other words, you wouldn't see temple worship stopping until the destruction of the temple when Titus and his army came against the temple. And by the way, I'm
although then the alternative view is that there's not simply a question of the literal ending of the sacrificial system, but the ending of it in terms of its efficacy. In other words, that it did end with the rending of the temple veil. This is Alice's point of view, as near as I can tell it. That what is being spoken of there in his view is simply the idea that the efficacy of the Jewish sacrificial system ended with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I agree.
That the final consummation of that judgment then occurred in A.D. 70, which, as near as I can tell, is what Dr. Alice references in regard to the references of Christ to the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24. And so it's interesting to see these two takes, because again, it seems that both positions have some powerful articulate advocates, and it seems that the how one goes with this at least tends to determine whether or not one is identified as a dispensationalist or non-dispensationalist. Now, in your particular case, you accept a futuristic view of the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel 9:27, and believe that the modern state of Israel is in some sense a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and yet you don't consider yourself to be a dispensationalist. What is the difference between your perspective and that of the mainstream dispensationalist interpretation?
Well, again, you and I had discussed earlier that I do not subscribe to this division of persons within the covenant and the promise of the gospel. In other words, that I don't see that there's a Jewish believer part of the body of Christ and a Gentile believer part of the body of Christ. There's one body, and all believers are united in that spiritually. I think that there's prophetic implications for national Israel as we see prophecy, because prophecy has always been, and I believe always will be, fulfilled literally, historically, and visibly. When you get right down to one of the major, most popular positions between what has really made dispensational a point of view popular in even in the mainstream culture today is this idea of a pre-trib rapture. For those that don't know exactly what I'm talking about, the tribulation is a period of great persecution, testing, and death of God's people. It's described in the Bible as 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of this age. And that persecution will be perpetrated by this, what John referred to as the Antichrist, what Paul referred to as the man of lawlessness. Jesus seemed to even call him the abomination that causes desolation. And the dispensational separate the church from Israel, and they say that there will come a time in future history when the church will be removed and we will revert to the last 7 years, and it will revert everything back to Israel. It's almost like back to the future kind of thing. And they proclaim, and they say that the gospel presents a removal of the church in what they call the rapture, which is actually part of the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the living at the return of Christ. They say that that rapture, catching up and resurrection of the church, occurs, most of them say sometime before Daniel's 70th week, because they say that this last 7 years, that 70th week, is a time for Israel. And the church is no longer, the church age, they refer to it. But that's their term. There's no term like that in the Bible. And then they have the church essentially in heaven at the wedding feast with the Lord, and some of them have the church coming back with Christ after the 7 years, and some of them have everybody staying in heaven for eternity. But they separate Israel, spiritual Israel, and Gentile believers in terms of their eternal destiny, and the Bible doesn't describe that. Nor do I, support that. So there's where we have our difference, because I find Scripture to be abundantly clear as I read it that Jesus is indeed going to return at his parousia, and he is indeed going to gather up all his followers, the dead. That would be the resurrection of the dead. And any of those that might be left alive at his return, they will be, the popular term, raptured, caught up to meet the dead, the resurrected of the dead, and Christ in the clouds of the sky in a very grand, catastrophic kind of culmination to the age and the transferring from this age to the coming age. And they see a rapture of the church before Daniel's 70th week, and I see that resurrection and rapture of the living and the dead coming, just like Jesus says in the Olivet Discourse. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, that you'll see the Son of Man appear in the clouds of the sky, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call to gather the elect from the four winds of the earth and one end of the heavens to the other. So those that he gathers from the heavens would be those that had died in Christ, and they would be resurrected from the dead. Those that he gathers from the four winds, the angels gather from the four winds of the earth, they would be what we call raptured. They would be caught up, and they would be changed instantly, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52, he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, or we're not all going to die, but we'll all be changed, the dead and the living, he says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And then he says, this will happen at the last trumpet. I'm sure it's that trumpet that Jesus mentioned. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from heaven and earth. Go ahead.
Just so that I'm clear on this, I think I understand what you're saying about your belief that there will be no rapture of the church, in other words, a removal of Christians from the earth prior to this last 7 years of world history.
Correct.
Or at the midway point of that seven-year period of time.
Correct.
That the coming of Christ will be a one-stage event at the end of those 7 years?
That's correct.
In other okay.
words, his second coming is his parousia, his arrival, his advent, his return.
What in your point would be the beginning point of those 7 years?
Well, that would be when this leader who will come will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7. And the reason it's 1-7 is because that's all there will be left. There will be 7 years left in this age. And the same pronoun is all the way through that passage in Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia, and his website lastdaysmystery.info and his Penguin Group book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Richard H. Perry of Athens, Georgia, and his website, lastdaysmystery.info, and also the book that Richard has out with Penguin, entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Wanted to mention again during this particular segment that probably in the next 10 minutes we'll have a series of commercial breaks and then once again a longer period of time for conversation. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That's obtainable directly through the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And if you have any questions today for Richard Perry, you can call in the next hour at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Richard, getting back to our conversation, keeping in mind that in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to have a couple of interruptions. In your view, then, of all of this, you believe in a futuristic 70th week or a futuristic seven-year period of time, that seven-year period, in your view, will begin when an individual that you identify as the Antichrist, correct?
That's correct.
Will conclude a covenant or a contract for 7 years. With whom? With Israel?
Well, the scripture refers to it as many. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7.
Yes.
Now, one, he's confirming a covenant. He's not creating one. In other words, there's a covenant that appears to exist, and he's adding his weight or force to make it viable.
What is the precursor covenant in your view there?
Well, I think a bit of a mystery, and I think that there's a reason that Jesus did not mention this covenant in the Olivet Discourse, because I think it could be very confusing. One is this is most. People believe that this is a covenant for security in Israel. We've already seen many attempts at coming up with a covenant or treaty for the peace in Israel. And they come and they go. And that will continue until this one treaty comes and has the force of this leader who will come, which is referred to in the previous verse of Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9, the leader, the ruler who will come. And then this he in this chapter, verse 27, is referred to three or four times. It says, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7. Then the same he says, in the middle of the seven, in other words, halfway through, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering on the wing of the temple, and he will set up the abomination that causes desolation until the end is poured out.
We'll be back. Hold that thought, Richard. I want to cover this when we come back from the break. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned for Richard Perry. We'll be back.